Hello.
Freedom in the house. All right. So yeah, it's coldest night of the year. I'm just pulling it up right now. We're at $39,942. And that doesn't mean there's not more there. That's just what's up right now. So yes, we're almost at $25,000 more than we even reached for. Is that awesome? Actually, it's beyond word awesome. It's amazing this year. It's just like Scott was saying, it was like the Lord just took over. We were just riding the surf. So, and we had so much fun being out yesterday. We had a great walk downtown. My husband gave a history lesson to everybody that walked with us. Everything that was at downtown, you know, what was in the buildings. We had a really good time. We actually stopped and talked to a homeless fellow that Tab, you mentioned to me. And we chatted up with him, offered to pray for him. He ended up telling us about John 3:16, and he was going to show up today. So it was a good chat, good encounter with him. But I do want to give a shout out to, we had the Rotary Club. Oh man, did they do amazing. They raised, far as I know, $8,373. They walked first thing in the morning. And I sent some people out over there to give them a shout out while they were walking in their area. But fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Second place was the Warriors. Come on, Chris. They rocked it. What are they at? 3,186. They beat my team. But that's okay. I like to go low. And that's what I'm teaching about today. Your son beat your team. Well, who can ever... Your sweet son. Who can ever not want to give him money? He's a lot cuter than me. So, all right. So I'm so thankful. Like I'm blown away really how the community has been noticing us, even with our main sponsor, as you know, RDJ Bakery, that has been fantastic. Gave us $3,000 as a sponsorship. They've been nothing else but saying, we love partnering with you guys. We're so thankful for what you do in the community. Then we had, you know, again, the Rotary Club, the Bingo Club gave us money, and we didn't even ask. They came to us. They came to us. So it is fantastic. This whole season that we've been walking in COVID, but it's like, it's been a real blessing. It's been a real blessing for us. I'm in awe every time I turn around what God is doing. So my message today is really just sharing my heart. It's just sharing who I am, what God's been speaking to me lately. And I just want to say I'm so blessed. I mean, you guys have heard me say this before. Ministering to the poor, you know, they again know they're hungry, right? They know they're blind, right? They don't fight it like we do and put up our protectors, right? And they know they're naked. And that's why I so love hanging out with them, because they show me where I'm blind. They show me where I'm naked. Where I'm hungry. And it leads me to the Beatitudes. So I'm going to throw up Matthew 5:3. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, that means less of me, less of you, there is more of God to rule. That's pretty strong scripture. Matthew 5:4. You're blessed when you feel you have lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you, which is Jesus. These are very deep and strong scriptures. And I know Scott has already led the way in leading in our intimacy in the first commandment. So I'm just telling you what the Lord's stirring in me, because you guys don't know what I'm doing downstairs. But this is what he's stirring. Proverbs 3:6. I've been resting in this scripture. Become intimate with him. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. That's not just some things. Whatever you do. That's everything. That's what it sounds like to me, right? It says, don't think for a moment that you know it all. Trust me, I don't struggle with that one. You know, in 1 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 3. This is out of the Amplified. It says, if I speak with tongues of man and of angels, but have not love. And then in brackets in my Amplified says, this love is for others growing out of my love that I have with God and his love that he has for me. Okay, if I speak in tongues of angels, and I love my tongues, I love to pray, I love to be in tongues. But if I'm doing this, okay? But if I'm not growing out of love for others, out of my intimacy with God, guess what I am? As the scripture says, I'm a noise, a clinging sound, I'm an annoying distraction. Even if I were to be so generous to give away everything I own, feed the poor. Urban Hope's known everywhere. Woohoo! I feed the poor. I even offer my body up to be burnt as a martyr. But without this pure love, guess what? It means nothing of value. Nothing. It needs to flow out of my intimacy with the Lord. Proverbs 3:7, for wisdom comes when you adore God with undivided devotion. Undivided, what does undivided mean? Our eyes are focused. I was listening to a teaching not too long ago where he was talking about, what do you call it? Cyper? What do you call those that have a gun and they're quiet and they can. So they were there and they will spend days crawling up to their spot. And they can be on top of an anthill and ants could be biting them and they won't move. They're that focused. Undivided devotion. They're that focused. If they could do it apart from Christ and they're trained, what does that mean about us? Undivided devotion. So I just want to go through Mary of Bethany today because she was a woman of undivided devotion. As we go through the scripture of Matthew 26 to 6 to 13. Then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with fragrance and expensive oil. She walked right up to Jesus in a lavish gesture of devotion. She poured out the costly oil and it cascaded on the head of Jesus and all the way down the table. I'll hold that for a second. You know what that oil cost? It says in scripture. It was a year's wage. A year's wage. You know what? We struggle with 10%. Do you know God doesn't want our money? He wants our heart. He wants our heart. This is a bandit lover. Do you think she cared that it was a year's wage? Was she counting the money like these disciples were? No, she was not. God wants our heart. It's because we trust money for our security. Right? Am I jumping around too much? Sorry. Preach it, girl. Okay. So I'm telling you, this is just a heart condition God is talking about. Again, he doesn't care about our money. He cares about our heart. He cares about our heart. He doesn't want us trusting the securities of this world. He's a good father. He loves us so much. He promises to take care of us. We don't always don't understand how that looks, but he promises. So she pours this out. When the disciples saw this, they were offended. Offended. We'll get back to that. What a total waste. Total waste. This could have been sold for a great deal of money. It could have been given to the poor. That was just an excuse, right? We know that because Jesus calls it. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, Why are you so critical to this woman? What she's done is a beautiful act of kindness for me. You will always have the poor among you. But what she did, she poured out this fragrance oil all over me. She prepared my body for burial. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish, lavish, undivided devotion to me will be mentioned in memory of her. Guess what? What is this devotion that Jesus ties to the gospel forever? She's mentioned in the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. It's him. The story of this lavish devotion, Mary is a perfect example of the gospel supposed to do inside of us. She's a perfect example of what the gospel is supposed to do. And she is. Everything in Mary is pulled to Jesus. Let's read Luke 38:42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came down to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, focused, absorbing in every revelation. Revelation is like that glow inside of you. She focused on every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated, by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for a guest. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think this is unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up. Help me." The Lord answered to her, "Martha, my beloved. Martha, why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by many distractions." Oh, I'm so guilty of that. Mary has discovered the one thing. The most important by choosing to sit at my feet. Undistracted. And I will not take this privilege from her. The one thing, Mary has discovered the one thing most important. Do you know the number one is known as the lowest number outside of zero? It's the lowest number. Think about it. We are to stop for the one thing. It is the lowest number. At the feet of Jesus, we go low and we recognize him. Humility. You know, just pause for a minute. You know, I love hanging out also with the poor because they live a low life. There's no performance. Guess what? I can come see them with bad breath. I mean, a mask stops that now. But I can come with shaggy hair. I can stink. And guess what? They embrace me. They love me. Yeah, I don't have to perform. I don't even have to look good. I don't. They live in that low place. They teach me. If I ever end up homeless, I know where I'm going. I really do. They have much to teach me. I love to see the love they have for each other. I mean, it's broken. But I've been to many funerals with them. And I see they go past the lines to go love people. Someone's bald. They don't care. They run in and go get cleanies. They sit beside each other. They listen to each other. It's phenomenal. You know, I remember this video my husband pulled up a while ago. They did this sample. They put this, he was about a 13-year-old boy, and it was a really, really cold day. I don't know if you guys seen it. And they put him, like, half-dressed down the street, and it was so cold. And he was there for 2 hours to test who would walk by. And no one stopped for him. It was live footage. No one stopped for him except the homeless person. A homeless man came up to him, took off his jacket, and he says, "Here, we'll take care of you." Makes you think of the Good Samaritan, right? Their enemy came to love them. That speaks volume. And then they put an animal out there, and guess what? Last all 5 minutes, someone wanted to take care of the animal. or have so much to teach us. They really do. You know, real love comes when we're abandoned to Jesus. They teach me in lowly places. But I also know that God does not love me because of who I am. He loves me because of who he is. I must not love others because of who they are, but because of who I am in Christ. I must love others because of who I am in Christ, not because of who they are. God will not love me any more tomorrow than he does today or he did yesterday. God's love for me is not based on my performance, my appearance, or my statues. But on his mercy, on his grace, does God not have to work on his relationship with me, but I am to make myself available to him. He's done everything. He's done it all. There's nothing more Jesus needs to do. Father God, the Holy Spirit, as we come through Jesus. But I need to make myself available to him. And this is what Mary shows us. Does she not? Known as a woman at Jesus' feet. She's lowly. Everybody else is standing, gathering, getting stuff ready. Todd White said Martha was making sandwiches. Jesus didn't order. I'm not putting down Martha. We all have our Martha moments. But this is what he's calling us to. Mary's head was low. She was on the floor. Mary is so preoccupied with Jesus, she sees no one else. She doesn't even see herself. She doesn't have time to yak about other people. If you got to take your eyes off Jesus to look at someone else, we should never take our eyes off Jesus. We look through Jesus to other people. All of Mary is answered in Jesus. All of her fulfillment is Jesus. Fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of her person, the joy of her life, the peace inside of her heart, the satisfaction of her soul. Everything she ever wanted. Everything she could ever dream of. Fulfillment of all desires, freedom from the need of anything else. When we come to Jesus, he is all we ever need, all we ever wanted. We just did not know it. Isn't that so true? Being in his presence, sometimes situations don't change, but everything else is different. Did you ever get that? Yeah. Something has switched when we're in his presence. In us. It changes in us. His presence is what's more valuable to us. And it frees us from needs and desires. Because he meets them. He looks into me. I look into him. And that is where heaven meets. He looks into me. I look into heaven. We meet inside. Right? Essential Christianity is a message not to behave. It's not to behave. It's to behold. It's to behold Jesus. We know Jesus doesn't join our lives. He changes our lives. He gives us his life. How many times my guys say downstairs, I need a new life. That's awesome. Jesus wants your life. I'm pretty straight up with them. Said just yesterday to someone who's lived absolute horror of a life, torture, awful. I said, what is it going to take for you to give it all to Jesus? You lived somewhat hell on earth. And I'm telling you straight up, because I love you, Lake of Fire is a real deal. Why don't you say yes to Jesus? He's crazy about you. You know, Martha was offended, right? When we are fulfilled in Jesus, we cannot be offended. Then I can give to man and not expecting anything in return. If I'm not expecting anything in return, then I do not get hurt and I do not get offended. Offended is my issue. You know, has people stolen from me? Oh my gosh, totally. Has people stolen downstairs? More than I can count. I mean, I was helping this girl. I still do help this girl. I love her. I've done so much for her. I drove her around, housing, everything you could think of. Guess what? She went underneath my seat and stole my credit card. Boyfriend came to me weeping a month later because she did it. Guess what? She asked for forgiveness. I forgave her. And the Lord said, continue loving her. And I continued to serve her. I didn't stop. Because God is my protector, and I don't love somebody because they have to come to me to perform. I love somebody for who I am in Christ. There's a lot of freedom in that. I remember Graham Cook telling me this story, listening to one of his stories, where this guy said to him, I'm going to make you my greatest, I'm your enemy. I'm going to speak so bad about you. And Graham goes, you know what? I have to choose to make you my enemy or choose to be offended. And that's just too much energy. I'm not going to do that today. Right? I know if I get offended is my way. I find when I want my way, I'm often in God's way. So that's so true. God's way means I'm out of the way. Martha, most of all, wanted for Jesus to notice her for what she was doing. And she was offended that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Martha, at the moment in this scripture, could represent her faith and relationship with Jesus is tied up in what she does for him. We all do it, right? My identity, I'm telling you, is not in Urban Hope. My identity is in Jesus, right? It's not my dreams. Jesus is my dreams. But I do it through him wherever the Lord leads me. If it's something different tomorrow, it's something different tomorrow. How easy it is to hide behind serving, responsibility, acting, activity, ministry. How we sometimes even cheat on God with stuff that he's given us. A lot of the time we get caught up looking in Jesus' direction, but not looking at him. Right? We have a bridal vocabulary, but not a bridal experience. You know, I really, really enjoy leading people into encounters with Jesus. That's what I live for, through my intimacy with him. I love Sozo ministry because the whole thing is about teaching them to have their own personal encounter with Jesus. That's it, right? With the Godhead. But I've done some Sozo. There's one time I was in Toronto. I had to do a whole day Sozo with the team up there. And I tell you, boy, we can hide behind scriptures. Really. Those scriptures can block us from some serious encounters with Jesus. We can. Hey, they have all the language. All the language. But it hinders us from allowing the living God to come in and love on us. Sometimes we get so preoccupied by people and presence of other people that we lose Jesus' presence. I love people. I love people so much. But I have to do it through Jesus. I have to do it through Jesus. Or it is nothing but an annoying distraction. Mary shows up. Shows us his presence is more important than anything or anyone else. Martha was worried. You know what the best thing is to destroy worry? Worship. Eyes off the situation and worshiping. Spending time with him. Worship's phenomenal. There's no words for it. God's going to take us places corporately in worship that we can't even have words for yet. I love when I watch worship. I love when I see the presence of God come and they're so sensitive to the presence of God that they go, okay, guitar plays for a little bit right now. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. Everything else quiet leads us in. Okay. Then they give words of knowledge. What? However the Holy Spirit's leading, it belongs to him. It's not ours. Right? Okay. Then the whole band goes and there's another wave. It belongs to Jesus. We're his bride. We want his glory. We want his presence. That's what we live for. Seeing is always greater than serving. I want to be preoccupied with Jesus. Nothing else takes my attention. I want the touch more than the talk. I want the revelation more than information. I want to hear Jesus' voice above every other voice. Martha preferred to be around Jesus. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. When you're low at Jesus' feet, gazing into his eyes, then you have to be vulnerable. You have to be honest. You have to be bare. What a safer place to do that. It's no other words. I'm all yours, Lord. I would rather move God's heart than understand him. I'd rather move God's heart than understand him. If only I give of myself partially than Jesus, if I give him partially of me, guess what happens? Then there will always be parts of me Jesus cannot fulfill. If I give him just part of me, that he cannot fulfill those other parts. I'm just robbing myself. If Jesus is all to me and I give all to him, I will have everything I need. This makes us untouchable. Do you know that? You read the crazy martyr stories. You read, that's what made them untouchable. Daniel, whether the lions get me or not, I know my God. It's not conditional. He knew his God. Jesus is the fulfillment of our desires. He is all you ever need, all you ever wanted. Lord, I pray that I may not give myself to the things that are inferior to you, but give ourselves fully to you and your breath inside of us. Mary's attention is on others. You have to take your eyes off Jesus to look at someone else. Unfortunately, and I'm not knocking Mary, we all have our Martha, we all have our Martha moments, but this is what the Lord is calling us to. More than calling, this is what we exist. It's more than calling. You know, Martha's ministry died with her. We didn't even know what she fully did. Mary's ministry is tied to the name of Jesus, right? It's the gospel. And he said she would be spoken up in the gospel. Our prayer life shows us how much Jesus means to us. You know, how much time we spend with him. How much time I see people, I love to pray. I'm an intercessor. I'm like a little kid that runs away so happy to have time with the Lord. I get so excited. But I mean, our prayer life shows us where we're at with Jesus. Let's read John 11, 28 to 34. I extended this a bit. Then she left and hurried off. Jesus was there to raise Lazarus. She heard about him. Then she left and hurried off. Oh, this is Martha. She left and hurried off to get her sister Mary. She called her aside from all the mourners and whispered to her, "The master is here and he's asking for you." I love when Jesus asks for me. It's the best. It's everything. He's asking for you. So when Mary heard this, she sat around and waited. She quickly went off to find him. Are you going to run when Jesus is calling you? Or are you going to get around to it? What an example. She's a bandit lover. She got up and she ran quickly off to find him. For Jesus was lingering outside the village at the same spot where Martha met him. Now when Mary's friends who were comforting her notice how quickly she ran out of the house, they followed. I want people to follow me into the intimacy with the Lord. I want people to not see Christine Lacatus. I want people to see Jesus through me, and they will run to have encounters with him. That's what I live for. So they got up because they saw her run to Jesus. So she gets there. Mary's friends who were comforting her, okay, ran out of the house. They followed her, assuming she was going to the tomb to see her brother and mourn. When Mary finally found Jesus outside the village, where'd she go again? She fell at his feet. In tears, She said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet and all her friends that were with her, grieving, he too started crying. He was stirred up with emotions. He was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. And he said, where is he buried? You know what? Like I said, Jesus loves us no matter what. He loves us because of who he is. The Father loves us for who he is. The Father, the Holy Spirit loves us for who they are. But in Proverbs 8:17, it says, I will show my love to those who passionately love me. When we choose to turn and look into Jesus' eyes, when we choose to abandon ourselves to him, we get to go deeper. I believe as Mary's heart was taken by Jesus, but Jesus' heart was taken by Mary. That's it. That's the call in our lives. That's it, right there. And he wept. He loves her so much. I don't think he was weeping for Lazarus. Maybe I'm wrong. He knew he's raising him. I think he was stirred to see the ones he loved are stirred. The ones you loved, you're passionate and you want the best for them no matter what. Then, you know, in the story, we read it where Mary gets down and it talks about in the first part of John 11 where she washes with the oil her hair. Her hair. Hair represents glory. It's our glory. The elders, too, they constantly put their crown down. She gave her glory to Jesus. He's her glory. She smelled like Jesus. The oil would have poured all over her as it poured all over him. Your intimate relationship with Jesus has everyone to smell his presence on you, in you. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. God's eyes go throughout the world looking for hearts that belong to him. Can I read this last part? Yes, God wants you and me to do signs and wonders. He does. The gospel doesn't come with words. It comes with signs and wonders. Not just words, with signs and wonders. But the love of God manifested through us is what people really need. It leads to the love. It leads to the intimacy. So we go low to Jesus' feet. We look into his eyes as he guides us. We come so intimate, close to his very heartbeat that we can feel what others feel. We get so intimate with his heartbeat that we can feel what others feel. Compassion of the Lord to comfort those who mourn. Isaiah 61. To heal up the brokenhearted, to set the prisoners free. For where our intimacy with Jesus flows, there will always be fruitfulness. For where we worship and love God in the midst of lack and difficulty, we will never lose. We'll never lose. We already know that we come out of a place of victory. Yeah, we have challenges, but it's in that place of victory. We don't move out of a place of righteousness. We are righteous. God is not about using the mighty, but he wants the willing. He's not about using the amazing people, yet we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I get that. But just ones who prepared for laying down their lives, give all to him. God is not looking for, you know, exceptional gifted people. He's looking for laid down lovers of Jesus who will carry his love, his glory, being so full of Jesus' intimate love that it doesn't matter what challenges of life that present ourselves. We are so spiritually full that we can feed the multitudes of other people's needs. Jesus will give more than enough, for they will come understand God's love, a love that never dies through us, because it's what we were created for. God's love is big enough to touch any life, to make light out of darkness. Jesus loves people back to life. The rejected, the outcast, the sick, even the thief dying on the cross, the criminal that was next to him. In the kingdom of God's love, there is no sinner that cannot come home. So that brings me to an end. So I would like to pray, because I just want to say, Jesus is the only hands that can bring bread from another world. And this is what I want to feed everybody that comes in front of me. I like Heidi Baker. She always stops for the one, the one, the one. Jesus always stops for the one. We might do little things, but with much, much love through the intimacy we have with the Lord. Let's put our hands on our heart. Lord Jesus, you guys want to pray this? Lord Jesus, find in me what you are looking for. Open our hearts, put in your love so deep for you and so real. Jesus, as you left the earth, you said, Father, those that you draw close to me, put the same love that we share together in them. That love, I can never fathom that scripture. It's so deep. How we can have the love of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that intimate love they have together that is so beyond words inside of us. But Jesus prayed it. I call that love that leads us to the feet of Jesus, that love that gazes into his eyes, and that we do nothing but move his heart. And out of that, the intimacy that flows out of our heart, that's what makes us different out in the world. I love the organizations of Bridges and all that. They're doing a portion of God's kingdom. They're doing a portion of truth, because where there's truth, there is Jesus. But the truth is, they don't have that intimacy with Jesus. And that's where we lead people that come into our pathway. We lead them into encounters with Jesus. We lead them into their own intimacy with Jesus that takes them to the Father, that takes them to the Holy Spirit. And then they minister to us and leave us so raw and so desperate, because if you don't show up, Lord, for this person, we're done. You know? But it is all about him. And even if we goof up, I goof up all the time. But I know my heart is on him, and my heart wants the best for everybody in him. And that makes me win in every situation. So I release that upon you, and I release upon everybody. Worship the Lord. Get taken into his eyes and abandon. And let him be your everything. Amen.